back in 1968, I was seeing a move of God. I was seeing miracles take place and great revivals. And one day a spirit spoke to me. I thought it was God. You know what the Spirit spoke to me? He said, "You can be the conscience of the churches." It wasn't the Spirit of God that told me that. It sounded good. Look what God's done for you. You can be their conscience. And after that, my writings begin to reflect. Well, here's what's happening over at Streams from Calvary. What's happening over at your place? Over at your place, they're getting worldly, they're getting ungodly. But here's what's happening. And I was becoming a conscience to the churches. And it wasn't of God. A young man in my church that struggled with nicotine and other sin problems for 13 years after he felt like that he was saved. Just problems, struggles.
My Lord.
I had a granddaughter that never had a happy day in her life. But when God said, "Prepare for a move of God," and our people began to seek daily renewal,
hallelujah,
a year and a half ago, about 6 weeks into that, her mama, who was playing the piano and the music, got set on fire of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Change, become the blessing she had been 35 years ago when she's a teenager. Hallelujah. Mm. Begin to sing and play with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. She was good. I told someone, "I've never been so sick of anything in my life as I am perfect harmony in music." I said, "I want to feel the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
Well, I tell you, the church began to seek God, and one day the Holy Ghost fell on that platform, and she jumped up and preached for about 5 minutes, and her music changed, and her song changed, her life changed.
Hallelujah.
And within 6 weeks, her oldest daughter ran to that altar. She saw Mama changed, and she got saved. And about a month later, she got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. And about a week later, the younger sister, she ran from the back of that church to that altar.
Hallelujah.
Because sister had never had a happy day in her life, and now then she's rejoicing and bursting over with joy and serving God and full of the Holy Ghost. And she got saved. And we tend to think that we've got to work on them for years before God can use them. That's that wilderness journey. But He said He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Not a 40-year wandering in the wilderness to get into the kingdom of God's dear Son, but a translation, delivered and translated. And that girl, 3 months after she was lost, the Holy Ghost is moving on her, and the sick are being healed, and miracles are taking place as the Holy Ghost moves upon that girl. And she stood up at the close of the service one day. She said, "Pop, can I say something?" I said, "Yes." She said, "God said the door's open for somebody that's wanting to come in." And this man that had struggled for 13 years with sin problems, he came. And that little granddaughter of mine laid hands on him. And you ever saw somebody just melt? I'm talking about inside of 60 seconds, he melted.
Hallelujah.
After that, I believe she prayed for everybody in that church. They lined up on that girl that was lost 3 months ago to lay hands upon them. Reports of every manner of wonderful thing came back of what God did that morning. But this young man, he said that for 3 days and nights, said the Spirit stayed on him. Said he trembling, for 3 days and 3 nights, he couldn't quit trembling. But he said when it began to lift one day, he said, "God, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to lose this. What do I do? I don't want to lose this." And that night he found himself over that altar at 7 o'clock, gathering those that were preparing for a move of God. And that altar, seeking daily renewal, gathering that manna every day instead of waiting 2 or 3 days and eating worms. You know, that's what you're doing if you gather the manna every 2 or 3 days. You're eating worms. And if you get up on Sunday morning and feed what you gathered last week, you're feeding worms to the people. God renewed every day. Every day, every day. He came over and he got in that altar and he'd been renewed day by day. And my, how God began to move on that young man. But all the sin problems fell off like dead flies. Fly dies, he's going to fall to the ground. And nicotine and all these other problems he'd had, all the, it just fell to the ground. And he didn't find nothing for anything else but just doing his job. And they're out there worshiping God, driving a mowing machine, working for my son, and worshiping God all day and come home and get into the Word and prayer and just continually. And it was a miracle what God was doing to that young man. But then one day a voice spoke to him. Now, I didn't know this at the time, but he told me later. He said, I believe the Lord told me that I turned you around. Now, you've got to turn them around. He told me that. Oh, I said, you can't do that. You can't turn them around. Amen. He turned you around. He will have to turn them around. You can't turn them around. But the difference was he had found a pearl and they had not. The one that found the treasure in the field, with joy he sold everything that he had and bought that field. But if he goes to that next person, said, you've got to sell everything you've got. Like that young, rich young ruler, they're going to walk away sadly. I can't do that. Because they've never found the treasure. If they found the pearl of great price, with joy, everything else goes as they turn their affections upon the pearl and upon the treasure, and everything else goes. But I can't stand there and say, listen, if you'll get rid of everything, you can have Christ. And they'll get rid of everything, they still won't have Christ. They'd be no better than the Amish. Give up everything in the world and still don't have God. Everything. Peter didn't sell everything. John, James, Andrew, they didn't sell everything. They kept their fishing boats. Now, you might make a case 3 years later, they should have sold them. I don't know, because after the resurrection, they went back to fishing. But in the meantime, they're crossing the Sea of Galilee, making ministry journeys in the fishing boats. God speaks to one man and he says, your hand's offending you. Cut it off. And then that man goes out and says, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to cut off your right hand. You know that's not right. But if that hand's offending you, you better cut it off. Praise God. You better cut it off. The Galatian church began in the Spirit. They were not a lascivious church. They were not like the Corinthians. You read nothing about fornication and suing each other and all these problems in the Galatian church. They were doing wonderful. They began in the Spirit. Miracles are taking place in their services. It's recorded that way. And one day a preacher comes along and says, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Whew. Oh my goodness, I thought I was saved. And they start running out to get circumcised. And then that same preacher's taking charge of their experience. Amen. Now that you're circumcised, you've got to keep the new moons and the feast days and the holy days and the Sabbaths and do the sacrifices. And they're not getting out into a world of sin. They're getting deeper into the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They're becoming more religious in their own sight. They're getting more what God wants them to be in their own sight. But what is His message to them? Neither could He speak to them as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? He didn't say in the flesh. He said by the flesh. Boy, I have no problem with perfection in the flesh. I sure would love to be perfect in the flesh. But He didn't accuse them of trying to be perfect in the flesh. He said, are you made perfect by the flesh? And there is in almost every place in the New Testament, the word flesh, simply the word Greek word sarx. Let me tell you what the Greek word sarx can mean. The first definition is flesh is stripped of skin. That word flesh, sarx, can mean a side of beef hanging in a cold locker. We know He's not talking about that. Secondly, it says that flesh can talk about your kindred, your kinfolks. We know He's not talking about your kinfolks. Mankind, He's not talking about that. But what He's talking about, sarx, it says human nature. Human nature. He never mentioned sin. He mentioned human nature. Human nature. And when He asked them, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? What God has begun in the Holy Ghost, with an outpouring of the Spirit of God in Galatians, and then somebody comes along and says, you've got to be circumcised, keep the new moon, the feast day, the holy day. You're going to trust in your human nature to finish what God started. You're going to work it out for yourself to finish what God... Are you so foolish? Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth of the gospel? Praise God.